No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The other reason why I'm saying like it's unconscionable, because to your point, John, if they are having this much success, it really shouldn't be this challenging to kind of resolve this.
Let's bring up our boy Brandon Lee Gowton, BLJ from BleedingGreenNation.com. Go and read him at BleedingGreenNation.com, one of the best Eagles websites there is. BLJ, a lot to talk about in Eagle Land. How you doing this Wednesday morning, my friend?
Yes, indeed. A lot to talk about for a team that is 4-0 and has gone through a tough schedule here to begin the year, but still a lot to dissect.
Yeah, if you told me they were 4-0 at this stage, I would have said, oh, they're in good shape. And all we do is talk about the negativity. So I get why that gets on the Eagles. But I think you heard my rant there. That's where I am. Mike Gill brought it up last week, and I said, you know what? Maybe we should stop talking. The mentality that this should be one of the greatest offenses ever because of the talent assembled. Maybe if we knock that out of our heads, maybe we can get to readjust it and get to a more common place where okay, they need to get better. But it's never going to be that. Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
I mean, I don't know if it has to be one of the best of all time. I just think that when they go so cold like they do, it's hard to fathom. Like, how can you have the kind of first half you did against the Buccaneers and not just fall off? Because, okay, let's say, like, okay, they weren't as hot in the first half as they were in the second half, but they moved the ball a little bit. Like, they had a drive or two that they, you know, like at least they were doing some things, kicked a field goal after gaining 60 yards. That's not what's happening here. Like, they are just like totally not functioning at all in some of these halves. And it's other than, you know, the defense giving them a short field to work with, like they did in the Rams game, like they did here in the Bucs game. I just can't fathom how they could be that terrible with the personnel they have, where they're basically going backwards on a number of these drives. Like, they can't even get positive yardage. That's just hard to explain.
The valleys are too low, BLG, right? I mean, like, I'm not asking to be, again, the greatest show on turf, but I do think the valleys are too low. I mean, I brought up this stat a little earlier in the show, BLG, and we're lucky the defense is holding the way they are. They lead the league right now in three and outs, BLG, over 45%. That is a crazy rate of three and outs for an offense. And in the long term, in my opinion, that's just too much to ask of any defense. I mean, I think it is, at least, to expect them to keep coming out and being able to play on such short rest like that. So, you know, what do you think they have to do to try and get it going, BLG, or at least be a little bit more consistent? You know, not that they haven't got it going. They are 4-0. I don't want to dismiss that, but you know, I've said to John, I don't think they can go back without Saquon running historically like he did last year and the defense being number one overall in football last year. That combination allowed you to win a way that defied modern football. Without those two things, I'm not so sure they can do that again. And then on the other hand, I watched them get close to winning a Super Bowl with A.J. Brown getting 1,500 yards, with Jalen Hurts second in the MVP voting. I'd like to see a little bit of the bridging of the two philosophies. Is that too much to ask? Am I off base? What do you think, BLG?
No, I don't think that's too much to ask. I think that makes sense to me. I wish the coaching staff would kind of trust the players a little bit more at times. And case in point, you know, this was a really good nugget here from Bo Wolf, who pointed out the Eagles are, you know, second in the league, I should say, in design run percentage on 3rd and 11. And it's like, it's an insane rate. It's 58%. It's a small sample considering, you know, there's been four games, but we've seen it. You get to third and long, and it's like, well, just give up, just punt, like run, do a run, and then punt the ball. And like that's just crazy to me, especially in the context of you look at the Bucs game from Sunday. Jalen Hurts was having this awesome first half. No one would disagree. They get a third and long late in the second quarter there, and it's like, well, we just have to play for a field goal. We can't possibly go for a first down here, or at least, you know, make a short fourth down and maybe try to go for it then at that point when you have an unstoppable, you know, play that you can run on fourth and short. Part of the issue there again is just that, like, I think sometimes the coaching staff, I'm confused about what they're seeing out in the field. It seems like Jalen Hurts has that awesome first half, and it's like, well, we can't possibly trust him right now. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think they do need to get more aggressive. I think they need to trust the quarterback, who I think has not been perfect this year, but has largely played well, and empower him more than they have.
You know, trust is an interesting word, BLG, because sometimes I get the feeling that what you just said, they don't trust the quarterback enough. On the other hand, I think the quarterback doesn't trust the receivers enough, and I don't think the ball comes out on time too many times. And in certain situations, when you have playmakers like you do, you give them the trust and say, all right, you know, this is the NFL, small window. My guy's going to come down with the football. It seems to be sort of a down the food chain, a lack of trust. And then when you take the running game out of it because it hasn't been effective, I think it turns into this ugliness. But I would add, and we're never going to get this answer, so I want your thoughts. Is it just as simple in this game because it was more dramatic than usual? He's playing great, and then it's nothing. 0 for 8. And he got hit, and he looked loopy. Mm-hmm. And they stayed in the game, and I think there's this mentality around that the NFL has this magic concussion test that can tell you you have a concussion or you don't have a concussion. And that's kind of bullshit, to be honest. And I've talked about this with Malcolm Jenkins in the past, and things have improved. But players try to stay on the field. Mm-hmm. You saw it against Washington last year. What was Jalen Hurts doing coming out of the tent when he was diagnosed? Grabbed his helmet, was trying to get back on the field. Jalen's a guy who's going to try to get back on the field. Maybe it was just that, because he was out of sorts. And not only you can talk about the creativity and the lack of patterns. I mean, the throws were brutal coming up a first half where the throws were crisp and going the right direction to the right receiver. Is it just as simple as he was banged up?
I think it's fair to wonder. We don't have enough evidence conclusively to say, but you know, I don't think that explains, you know, the first half of the Rams game, right? Like, there's been too much, like, you know, there's been too much of these halves, or there's too much of inconsistency where I believe that would be the sole issue in just one game. But I do want to see. I want to see where he's at with the injury report and everything today. I'm guessing that there won't be anything, considering that he finished the game.
It's different with quarterbacks,
for sure. Yeah.
If you're a center, you're ruled out.
Right.
If you're a quarterback, let's take a look at this. So I think that part of it. But then the second aspect is, they are so good. It's such a bizarre situation. They're 11 for 11 in the red zone. Their EPA this year is higher than it was last year. It's like, do we just have to accept this is a weird team and they play well in high leverage situations? Is that the ceiling of this particular team? And if it is that bad?
Definitely weird. That's for sure. Is it bad? Yeah. I mean, it can be bad when it's this extreme. I think the red zone stuff, while I think there's some reasons to believe that the Eagles could be better at that than other teams. Typically, I think we look at red zone performance year over year, and you know, there's variance there. It's not something that's super like static. I don't know.
Well, I don't think they're going to keep up 100%.
Right. Exactly.
I do think that the legs of Jalen Hurts gives them
yes.
a big advantage in the red zone.
Yeah, I think they'll be above average still, but yeah, I don't think they're going to be necessarily perfect going forward. So, you know, part of that, and that's part of the whole equation here. There's certain things that the Eagles have been able to do, obviously block field goals, block punt, that while they deserve credit for it at some level, because it's not just pure luck, it's obviously not something you can sustain and rely on as much as some other things. And I guess that's what the crux of the, you know, the argument is when it comes to, okay, you're 4-0, but how much of it is sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, you got the 11 for 11 or 12 for 12 in the red zone, and then you lead the league in three and outs. So it's like that again. That's where BLG, I think
so,
right.
It's so bizarre.
The low can't be this low. You know, that's probably the biggest thing. If they just make the valleys a little less low, they're going to be in really good shape. Well, what'd you make of AJ Brown on Twitter, BLG, with all that stuff? I mean, you come out, you're 4-0. I get it. You know, you obviously don't want your star receiver going to Twitter, but. Part of me believes that he's not wrong about the offense. You know, that's a set.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Separate point, would you make just the AJ Brown stuff after the game?
I have a hard time faulting him because I think it's insane. I think it's not normal that we have two games this year. AJ Brown had one reception, one target, one reception for 8 yards in the first one. Then he has 9 targets in this one, but it's 2 receptions for 7 yards. And it's just like, that's unfathomable. It's crazy. He has 151 yards on the season. That's like a normal game for AJ Brown. Like, or he can get 151 in one game without breaking a sweat. Like, it's crazy how they have not been able to get him more effectively involved. And I would be frustrated if I were him. And he's been talking about and has been frustrated about this. So this isn't like new. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't blame him for feeling like he has to do something different to try to get these frustrations out. And when you're frustrated, sometimes you don't make the best decisions. You can say, okay, is that best for the team? Obviously, you can make an argument it's not. But, like, it's crazy that we're here at this point. It's like, unconscionable for him, I'm sure. So, like, it's just – there's no good reason why we're at this point. And he has every reason to feel frustrated about it. And so, therefore, like, I have a hard time faulting him for feeling the way he did and expressing himself, because I don't think it's productive for him to – just be sitting on these feelings and getting really frustrated. I don't think that helps him. You can say there's a better way to channel it. I don't know. I think maybe ultimately the best thing is for him to just get these feelings out.
I think this one was a little bit different. I don't know if you saw it the same as me, and maybe AJ will quell it all today. Maybe he'll do it Thursday. Who knows? But to me, this is the first time. You know how many of those bullshit rumors cropped up in the offseason, mainly Boston-based, trying to manifest, you know, well, he likes Mike Vrabel, maybe he'll come to the Patriots. It was all nonsense, one-sided nonsense. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time where, if this continues, and obviously he's on pace for 642 yards. I mean, that's the worst-case scenario. But even if it ends up being 900 or 1,017 games. This is the first time where I thought, maybe he doesn't want to be here anymore in this offense. Am I going too far with that? Or you think that's a possibility?
I don't think he wants to be in this offense where he's not being utilized to this extent. I would agree. But that should be able to change. And the Eagles will be well served to do everything to change that. It shouldn't be that hard. That's my problem. Like, it's just, how is this rocket science? Like, there's no complicated element to this. They know exactly how good he's been. He's been amazing here in the past. How is this that challenging to get him more involved than he's been to this point?
Can I flip that on you and
sure.
say, like, what about this coaching staff screams that they don't know what they're doing? Because if they don't know what they're doing, like, who does? Like, nobody could beat this freaking team. I'm a big talent over coaching guy. I mean, that's the reason also I think they're so successful, because they have so much talent. But this coaching staff has proven itself. I mean, Nick has proven himself. You got to go back to John Madden to find a guy with, and he's the only guy in the Super Bowl era with a higher winning percentage than Nick Sirianni. What about this coaching staff screams that they're, you know, morons who aren't trying to fix these things and can't fix them, which leans me towards the players, mm-hmm. which start to think, all right, is it the quarterback? Is it the offensive line? Is Saquon not the same? Is AJ not the same? People have brought that up, but, you know, he's got 100 yards against the Rams. What differed from week to week?
Yeah, right.
I can't blame the coaching staff as much as the players. I never do, in good times or bad times. What do you look at first with this offense when it comes to the performance on the field? Forget the scheme, forget the lack of creativity, just their performance.
Yeah, it's all of those things. It's not just one of those things. I think that's the biggest thing that kind of always gets missed in these conversations, because it's so easy to just be like, oh, it's this one thing, and want it to be that one thing, because then you just change that one thing. Yeah. Problem solved. Or, you know, maybe it's just like a human condition thing. You just want that one target. It's easy to just key in on that, as opposed to be like, well, it's all these things. Because when you say that, then you're like, well, then all these things have to change. And that's not really fun to think about. You're changing all these levers. So it's definitely not just the coaching staff. I'm not going to say that, but whoever it is, like, it should not be this hard. And the coaching staff, although it's not all on them, they are, you know, a big part of figuring this out ultimately and diagnosing it if there are problems, and trying to do their best to come up with solutions to get things going. And it feels like they should. And that's the other reason why I'm saying, like, it's unconscionable. Because to your point, John, if they are having this much success, it really shouldn't be this challenging to kind of resolve this. So I just can't believe it's been a talking point. There's no way back in the offseason any of us would have thought like this would be an issue going like to the extent that it has been 4 games into the season, where AJ Brown only has, again, 151 receiving yards. That is just a 6 first downs.
He's on pace for 640 yards, BLG. That's like a wide receiver 3 in most offenses.
He's caught half of his targets. Like, that's just – all of that is crazy. It's just – I can't believe it. I'm sure he can't believe it. I think – I would guess, you know, he wants to get it turned around here. I don't think he's quitting by any means. But it has to change fast.
I agree. BLG, let's go over to that defensive side of the ball right now. I know they're not ranked at the top of the league right now, but again, I put a lot of that on 2 halves of football where your offense barely moves the ball. I mean, that's going to make your defensive numbers a little bit worse when you're giving up yards, but they're one of the best red zone defenses in football right now. I believe they rank 3rd in the NFL in red zone defense. I think they look really good despite being ranked. I think they're 22nd ranked overall in total defense or whatever it is, but I think they look really good. What have you seen from the defense? Am I overstating it? Maybe they don't look as good in your eyes. What do you think from the defense so far through the first 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. I think their performance against the Bucs was a little bit better than it seemed. Obviously, you can't just like take out the big plays. They happened, but I don't think those big plays were really like indicative of these glaring flaws with the defense as a whole, as much as sometimes a player like Baker Mayfield is going to make plays, especially out of structure. And that happens at times. When he had to play in structure there, he was holding the ball for, I believe, fewer than 4 seconds. He's like one of the worst success rates of his career in that game. So when the Eagles were able to contain him and make him play within structure, they're doing an awesome job. He made some plays Even the plays he made there, like, okay, Jahad Campbell's in decent coverage against Bucky Irving running down the sideline there.
He had a lot of time to cover for that long.
Exactly. That is worth highlighting. You know, okay, you might need some more pass rush there. But then the 1-2 on the Makuba busted coverage. Both Reed Blankenship, who ranged over, and Makuba almost had a chance to break up that play still. Like, kind of crazy that got completed. Obviously, it didn't happen. But, you know, it wasn't like he was just wide open without.
No, I think if Makuba tracks that ball, it's an interception.
Exactly.
Pretty easy interception.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't look at those two plays and say, oh, the defense played awful, as much as, okay, you know, there's some things to clean up there. But on the whole, the majority of it, they played pretty well. And even though, you know, you can worry about certain things like, you know, the pass rush and that, I think the floor for this defense is still pretty high, and you have to feel good about that unit.
Vic mentioned N'Kobe will be back. They'll start his practice window maybe today or next week. He wasn't clear, but over the next 2 weeks. But he also said Jahad's not moving the edge rusher. So, you know. And he spoke again. He said that multiple times, by the way. He doesn't look ready, so it makes sense, but to play on the edge. But he also has this tremendous respect for N'Kobe Dean. At the end of the day, though, you can't take Jahad Campbell off the field. Is this the situation where he's just going to be a backup special teams player? And, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, but there's no real, he's not playing three linebackers. He said that as well.
Yep.
At least at linebacker, just a bad situation for N'Kobe, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough for him going into a contract year here. Like, he needs to play and prove he's healthy and prove he can still play well to earn, you know, another contract here. Maybe he has to take a 1-year prove it deal, regardless. But I don't know what his trade value would be, but might want to look into that just based on how Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Smile Mundon relatively looked good in the offseason as well. So you feel like, okay, you have some depth there as well. You know, knock on wood, maybe there's an injury sooner than later that just forces N'Kobe Dean into playing time. And
you never want that to happen either.
Right. Which is why I don't know if I trade him, because like, what do you guys realistically think it would get? A 5, a 6?
I mean, I think it's got to play to prove he's healthy. To be
that's what I mean. Point. So it's like, I'd almost just rather keep the depth than grab another 6th-round pick. No. You know what I mean? I'd rather feel good about if there is some sort of an injury. But I agree. It's pretty crazy to think about. You played that good last year, and you're looking at
just covering this team for as long as I and BLG have. I mean, this was a linebacker freaking dump.
I know.
And now all of a sudden they have the best linebacker room in the NFL. It's pretty amazing how quickly that has shifted. And Zach Bond, I can't say enough about that guy, man. He is unbelievable, BLG.
Yeah.
The consistency, the ability to do everything. He's a great pass rusher. He's great in coverage. He stops the run. He can call signals. He can not call signals. Boy, that's one of the greatest free agent signings ever. And Vic deserves tons of credit. Why can nobody figure out this guy could be an all-ball linebacker? It's astonishing. And even Zach didn't know. He's like, I don't know. When am I going to rush the passer? It is one of the amazing stories. There should be a book written about that someday if he continues to play at this level. Because he sat in New Orleans for 4 years and they had no freaking idea. It's amazing to me.
He's allowing just a 39.6 passer rating in coverage this year, which is
unbelievable.
That's insane. And it's really, you know, I don't think there's a major concern that he wouldn't be, you know, like good again in 2025. But it was a question mark because he was just so good coming out of nowhere last year. It was like, okay, is this a 1-year wonder? Is how much is this for real? Turns out it's very much for real. And he's just been an absolute stud. And it's almost to the point where what I always think is impressive, when a player kind of just graduates to a certain level where then it becomes no longer that impressive that they're playing well. Because it's like, yeah, that's what we just expect from that player because they're great. And I feel like he's like getting to that point.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. No doubt. BLG, what are you seeing on the offensive line this year, man? A lot of talk about them right now on social media and everywhere, and I don't think it's all wrong. You know, they're clearly not the offensive line that they were a year ago. I think Landon's dealing with some injuries. Cam coming off a back injury hasn't been the same. I actually don't think Steen's been that big of a problem. Now, I know you lost Mekhi Becton, who had the ability to de-cleat anybody on any given moment, so maybe you lost that. But what have you seen so far from the offensive line, and how much do you put on them in terms of why Saquon's averaging three yards a carry as opposed to what he did last year, which was over 5.5?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an issue relative to being just the unmitigated strength it was, I would say, last year. You pointed out Dickerson just not being 100% there. Really a bunch of, you know, Lane has been in and out a little bit here. Like, they haven't been their full force, healthy versions of what they could be. So maybe there's hope if they can get to that point, they will be better. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like you've gotten the top performance out of that unit. And when it comes to Saquon, yeah, I have like no concerns about Saquon himself. I still, because, you know, he'll have these runs here where he's getting hit in the backfield, or, you know, there's someone in his face in the backfield. He still turns it into a 4 or 5 yard run. Like, he can still do that. If you could actually get him some space to work with, I'm sure he'd be taking off a lot more like he was last year. So I think it's the run game as a whole. I don't think it's just the offensive line, you know, because you have to look at how they're operating out of these condensed sets and how that just is not effective for them. And yeah, you're asking
inside them, zone, whoop, inside zone, whoop.
It's Grant Calcaterra blocking, but really just getting crushed. So it's really
Grant's not having a good year, by the
no.
way.
No.
And John points out the loss of Johnny Wilson has been more impactful.
I think it's
it definitely hurts.
Yeah.
Especially in those condensed sets. When they would use 13, they put Johnny Wilson out there a lot of times. At Brandon Gout, make sure you follow BLG on the X platform. BleedingGreenNation.com. I always say your one-stop shop for Eagles news. Hit there every day if you want to know what's going on with this football team. And there's always something going on with this football team, BLG. My biggest concern, I'll leave it there with you, remains edge rusher. Now Oboe's down. Nolan Smith is probably going to be out. Best case scenario, after the bye, Green Bay is looking what they're targeting. So you're down multiple guys at the same position, which is always an issue. And I think it was one of your weakest positions depth chart-wise to begin with. So now you're down to Jalik Hunt playing major snaps. He's probably not ready for that. Za'Darius Smith, I thought Za'Darius played well in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably topped out at about 35. You don't want to play him more than that, or he'll start to wear down. Josh Uche looks like a 25 to 30 guy. And now Aziz Ojulari's got to step up. And didn't look like Vic wanted to play him. Four games inactive. How concerned are you with the edge rushing situation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Eagles keeping seven players at that position ultimately worked out, even though it didn't seem to make a lot of sense there for a bit. But, they have enough where I think it's not like it's a total liability of a position where, you know, they're getting, like, blown off the ball and they can't just, like, they're totally just unplayable there. But the impact you're looking for, and I just go back to what I was saying about Baker Mayfield and having all that time to throw, you need a little bit more juice there. And it just feels like if Howie Roseman, you know, could add some kind of difference maker, it might be there on the edge. I mean, obviously, he reportedly had interest in Micah Parsons. So certainly, you know, that he would be open to adding a high profile edge player here. I don't know if the right fit is still out there for them. But
so hoping Miami would lose and they'd say, hey, let's throw Jalen Phillips.
Perhaps.
I was hoping the Jaguars suck.
I was going to say the Jags aren't good.
But they're good all of a sudden. I'm like, shit.
So I don't think there's like a no-brainer acquisition. You know, you can say Trey Hendrickson. I don't know that really lines up with what the Eagles want to do in terms of age and money there. Yeah. But it feels like, okay, they're in a spot here where they can get a little bit of an evaluation of what this looks like over the next couple of weeks. And then obviously in a month's time where the deadline comes up, that's where, you know, we can see him make a move.
Yeah, BLG, last one for me, man. We appreciate you joining in. Just your quick thought, man, on the Broncos game coming up. Tough opponent. you know, AJ Brown drama, and you got Pat Surtain coming up, you know, so a kind of a good opponent from that regard. Just your early thoughts and maybe a prediction if you have one on the game coming up this weekend.
It's so hard to know what to make of this offense. Just going off of how they can look great, and then I can also look just totally ineffective going up against a tough Denver defense that ranks just tied for second in the league in points allowed this year. Obviously, it was good last year as well, so that'll be challenging for this offense. We'll see what they can do. See if they can get right at all against them. Who knows? I think Bo Nix, you know, can make some plays, can also give up some plays too. So I think, you know, you like the Eagles defense, their chances.
I like Vic against the young quarterback, PLG.
Absolutely.
I like that matchup. Nick Benito concerns me, but.
Oh, yeah. He's very good. Broncos are 1-7 in their last 8 road games here. So they have struggled a bit on the road away from Mile High. So I guess that's worth highlighting there. But I'm going to say it's another close game. That's all the Eagles apparently do. And they'll probably win because it's impossible to pick against them. And I'm sure until they do it otherwise, I'm not going to say they make it look pretty.
How about a fake punt to win this week? You already got the block field goal, the block punt. Why not a fake punt to win this week?
I think Brandon Mann's the best punter in football right now.
Well, he can already handle the ball. We know that.
Yeah, right.
They gave him the ball.
Right. Poor Brandon Mann will end his career with negative 30.
-34. By the way, I was like, why? I said that, BLG. I was like, but if you're going to just run it out, why not keep the ball in the hands of Jalen Hurts? He knows what to do. Oh, he handles the ball all the time. And I wasn't even thinking. I'm thinking about winning the game.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm like, well, that means negative 35, 34 yards on his stat. And they didn't want to do that. So it's interesting. I did, you know, for all the talk about just win. They are concerned about stupid stats like that, that will get lost in the context later in the season when a great running game for a quarterback would turn into a bad running game on paper.
Yeah.
Just because he ran out of the end zone at the end.
Right.
It's interesting. Yep. But anyway.
Good stuff, BLG, man. We appreciate you joining in as always. We'll talk to you again next week, probably after another Eagles win with probably some controversy on the back end. BLG, thank you, brother.
Sounds good.
See you guys. Thanks, bud.